Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We talked about it. What quarterback had more pressure on them? And we debated it. I thought it was Aaron Rodgers to have an Aaron Rodgers-type performance. You thought it was Lamar Jackson. Rodgers was great. He was Aaron Rodgers.
He did his
thing. Old Aaron Rodgers. Right?
Made the throws he had to make. He was
great. He was great. He won. Lamar Jackson obviously lost. Now, set records in losing. I mean, let me read to you his numbers. 31 for 59, 365 yards passing, 20 carries for 143 yards, one touchdown passing, two interceptions, though, and then one lost fumbled. First player in NFL history with 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards in a playoff game. But, I don't think this is a referendum on Lamar Jackson. I think he's a young kid. He's in his second year, not even his second full year as a starter, but his second year as a starter, been starting about a year and a half, and he lost the playoff game. Some of the turnovers, one of them wasn't his fault. The first pass that was intercepted went off the tight end Mark Andrews' hands, hit him in the hands, and went into the air off his hands, was picked off, and then they score, the Titans score off of that, and then they score again, and go up 14-0. I think Lamar, again, he wasn't great as those numbers suggest, but I don't think he was terrible by any means. But the only thing I'll say about this game as to him as a player is it shows you that if you get down, they were down 14-0, if you and 28-6, if you get down with his style of play, it's going to be incredibly tough on you. Because you know he's going to run the ball, and then you force him to pass if they're down. He's a good passer, but not elite yet, right? And even if you're running with success, you're still eating up the clock. And so the Titans had the formula. They ran the ball on him, and they couldn't come back.
Think about it. It's one of the biggest upsets in the history of the National Football League. I think only six teams that have won 14 games or more wound up losing, in a divisional round.
Team.
I mean, that says a lot.
Yep.
I do believe it's a referendum on Lamar Jackson and his style. And from this standpoint, Chris, this ain't no first time. This is the second time. Last year when he had a 6-1 record and they played the Chargers, they fell behind, couldn't come back. It changed everything. And he made it look good and the score close at the end because, they're in prevent.
Right.
You get to throw the ball around, Chris.
It wasn't quite as bad as last year. The numbers aren't what they look
right.
like.
Right. And this one, and this year too, I saw people trying to, give him a pass. Well, he had 500 yards. You can't blame him. He had three big turnovers as well.
You admit, though, the first one is his fault.
But it's still three turnovers. All I'm saying is, yes. We've seen this before where it's off a receiver's hand and somebody else intercepts it. But if I'm looking, I'm not saying he can't play in the league, Chris. They can never win with him.
Win
That's not what I'm saying. A Super Bowl. I'm not saying that.
So if you're not saying that,
I'm saying you have to look at it. It does come into question when he had the most dominating regular season we've seen. They won 12 straight. They went through everybody, the quote-unquote good teams on the road. They beat everybody, and then they come and they fall behind and everything falls apart. We saw it last year. We saw it this year. And you know what? For everybody who keeps saying, well, he's young and he'll get back and they'll get to the Super Bowl, I'm just saying that's what they said about Dan Marino in his second year when he put up unbelievable numbers, went to the Super Bowl, and didn't win. They just had a team that had 12 Pro Bowlers, a dominant quarterback, right? A home game, first round bye, everything that you wanted. there to win that game, and they couldn't get it done because the quarterback couldn't come back once he fell into a hole. I'm afraid of that when it comes to the style of play, and maybe that he has to evolve a little bit.
Well, he does have to
evolve. Would you agree with that?
He even throughout the regular season, Rob, even in their win
streak. I'm not saying he can't play, Chris.
No. As long as you're saying that. And if you said you're not even saying they can't win a Super Bowl. I don't know if they can playing this way.
But I'm saying you'd have to make some adjustments to him, and he'd have to be able to throw the ball with better accuracy as we move forward to be able to say, all right, we're down 21 points. I could get that back. I'm not good.
Well, look, if they had been in the situation that Kansas City was in, down 24. And look, it wasn't Mahomes' fault. It were fluke plays. The first touchdown for Houston was a blown coverage.
Right.
Then they get the block punt. Then Tyreek Hill drops the punt. Like, those are three things that are completely out of the offense's control. But the bottom line is if Lamar Jackson had been down 24-0, he probably can't do what Pat Mahomes did. Now, they caught some breaks, too, but he probably can't do what Mahomes did, right?
No, and that's the scary.
Because they got to run.
That's the scary part. And some of the elite quarterbacks, Chris, they come back. They come back from deficits. You know what I mean?
Lamar is not yet an elite passer.
But you have to be able to throw your way back.
Right. Yeah, if you're going to come back, because one, it doesn't eat up as much time.
Right.
And it gives you big chunks of yardage.
You need quick scores to get back into a game like that. And I don't know if he's there yet, but for people to act like or poo-poo it, now that was a bad stinker in a big situation. And that's why I said I thought he had the most pressure, Chris, because it wasn't just about that game and where they were. It was about his style of play and all the naysayers who keep saying, you can't win a Super Bowl. Nobody's ever been able to win a Super Bowl doing that. And those people have come out of the woodwork. Right. You know that after a game like that.
Look, until he wins one playing this style, people are going to say that because we've never seen it with any of the, you know, quarterback. I mean, and hardly any have played like this other than maybe Michael Vick. But he obviously didn't win a Super Bowl. And to your point, in the 11-game win streak that they had in the regular season, six of them Lamar threw for under 200 yards. So even in the regular season, Rob, when they were winning, they were not hitting their receivers for the most part. I mean, most of it was passes to the running backs and the tight ends. And so the thing, like last year, he improved dramatically as a passer, right? In the offseason.
No doubt.
This year, what his improvement needs to be on hitting his wide receivers, hitting the people outside the lines. And so if he can hit his guys on the outside, the receivers, that's the next step of development for him. And then you can, you know, as the years goes on, he's not going to run as much. And probably every year he'll run a little bit less.
But here are the numbers, and these are just the hard, cold numbers. 0-2 in the postseason, 3 touchdowns, 5 turnovers. That's what we've seen in the postseason. And you want to talk about having one of the most dominating seasons I've seen from a quarterback is what he had. He just wasn't able to make it happen in the postseason. And you know, even at the look on his face, did you see him after, was it the first turnover? He's on the bench.
He was up.
He was already showing. Am I right?
And I got to be honest.
That was surprising.
At times, I didn't like his body language. I get it. You hate losing. Even some of him was probably angry with himself.
Right.
But still, you can't show that. Like, you got to be a little cooler customer. Pat Mahomes,
I saw the exact
totally
opposite.
Right.
And even so, down 24-0, you know there's plenty of time.
Yep.
You got to get into your game, and you can't get down on yourself even if you give up something early. Do you know what I mean? And
no doubt.
And I looked at the video, and I didn't like – I'm with you. The body language and the look on his face was not good.
Here's something, though, Rob, and I'm still in Jackson's corner. I was not convinced they were going to roll through the playoffs or even get to the Super Bowl.
You thought they'd win game.
I believed in Kansas City. I picked them to win against Tennessee, but obviously Tennessee's got a formula that's tough to deal with. If they get you down because they got the big Derrick Henry, and Kansas City's going to have to deal with that too. But here's the thing. Peyton Manning, obviously all-time great, 0-3 in his first 3 years in the playoffs. 0-3, Rob. His first in his first 3 years, one touchdown and two interceptions in his first three playoff games.
But we're talking about three touchdowns and five turnovers in two.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but I'm just saying, it's like, so my point is that guys can struggle early in the playoffs, and that doesn't mean, like, obviously people may have said about Manning at one point, he can't win the big, he won it, but then they still criticize him because he only had one, and he walks away with two. So I definitely don't think it's a referendum on Jackson.
That also tells you how hard it is to win it, even a prolific guy like him, who had all the numbers and the MVP, right? I mean, he was prolific, and he only got one really as a quarterback. And remember, they beat the Bears in a pouring rain in Florida, and who was it, Rex Grossman? He beat Rex Grossman. That's his only Super Bowl.
Right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob Parker, you are the baseball guy. You love it. It's what you're about. And, Rob, I got to be honest, I can't help but think it's the dirtiest sport in America.
Why you got to go there?
I'm just saying.
Because two teams got busted.
And football is just, it's just the Patriots.
Okay. All right, what went down today?
I don't know of anything like this in basketball, but in baseball, all right, here's what happened, folks. The Houston Astros, you'll say it's the death penalty. I won't say that.
Yeah, I think it is in baseball. When you take away draft picks, it's big.
So winners of 2017 World Series, of course. Their general manager, Jeff Luhnow, and manager A.J. Hinch were suspended for a year by the league after their investigation into the cheating scandal where they used technology to steal signs and so on and so forth.
And relaying the players at the plate.
But then their owner, Jim Crane, fired Luhnow and A.J. Hinch. And Alex Cora, you think they got the death penalty? I really think he's getting it.
And you got to remember,
the manager for the Boston Red Sox left Houston, went to Boston, and apparently took his cheating that he learned in Houston. Or maybe he was the mastermind. Who knows in Houston? Because they didn't say it was Hinch. They just said Hinch should have been, as the person responsible, he knew the players were cheating and the coaches, and he didn't put a kibosh on it. But Cora went to the Red Sox, basically took the cheating there, and he's really in trouble.
They're waiting for him to complete the Boston
Sox investigation.
But on the 2018 season, and if you're a Dodger fan, and you're not happy because you went to the World Series in 17 against Houston, lost, and 18 against the Red Sox, and both have been caught apparently cheating. They're doing the Red Sox investigation, and we'll find out. But, Chris, I think Rob Manfred, the commissioner, did a good job. I really do. I've never been into taking away championships. They do it in college, take down the banners. We all saw it. You could say Reggie Bush didn't win the Heisman. I don't care. I saw Reggie Bush win the Heisman. So, you know what I mean? So, and everybody said, or put an asterisk. There's not one asterisk in any record book. Why? Stop saying that. What?
Mental asterisk.
No, but
you're right.
There's none.
And you shouldn't have asterisks.
And you shouldn't.
In record books.
Exactly. So, I'm not with that. I thought that they did $5 million. Suspended the two guys for a year. Now, Chris, maybe the owner said to Major League Baseball, too, don't worry. You know what I mean? Whatever you give them, they're not going to be here. And that's why they didn't have to go lifetime ban. They knew that they were going to get fired and lose their jobs, which I think was the right thing to do by the owner of the Astros. You got to restore trust. And he's right. He claimed that they didn't start the stuff, the cheating, but they didn't do anything about it. And it's organizational cheating. I know Justin Verlander from Detroit. I covered him. He's very vocal when it comes to cheating and steroids. We have not heard a peep from Justin Verlander.
And he knew. I mean, mentioned, but there's no way he doesn't know. There's no way half,
the players know,
three-quarters of your team knows, and you don't know.
You sit in the dugout, everybody knows. There's no way. But we haven't heard anything. And all I'm saying is, they had to do something to send the message they're not playing. It took away draft picks 2021, right? I think it's 2021. and 2022, is that it, or 20 and 21?
First round and second round picks in the next 2 years.
Next 2 years.
2020 and 2021.
Yeah, so that hurts an organization.
Here's the suspension
and then the $5 million fine, and we know money is no issue.
Right.
That's nothing for professional teams, but still.
I believe, Rob, that they should have vacated the titles.
Really?
And
that would have made you feel better, or are you going to misremember that they won the championship?
They still got champ. They have championships or a championship that, let's keep it real, that there's a good chance you don't deserve. See, in college, when players are punished for cheating, it wasn't cheating during the game. It wasn't cheating at the sport. It was, you know, you
taking
got money from a booster or whatever it is.
I understand.
But you still earned the championship or however far you went on the field, on the court. That's my thing. Like you mentioned the Dodgers kind of tongue-in-cheek, and we don't know what would have happened.
You don't know.
But I think we can say with confidence that the Astros cheated on the playing field and therefore didn't deserve that World Series ring. And if you take away the World Series ring, banners, you know, just take it away, vacate it. Don't give it to the Dodgers. Don't give it to anybody else. Vacate it. There's no champion that year. I think that takes away any incentive to cheat from an organizational standpoint. Now, individual players, you still may want to cheat to get your contract, get big contract. But for an organization, if I'm not going to get to keep the World Series that we won, then why in the world would I allow cheating?
Here's the can of worms you open up. Here's the can of worms you open up. Here's the problem. Can people have a class action suit, Chris? You telling me that didn't count or whatever, like fans wanting their money back? Like you told me. I'm just saying you open up.
I don't think you could. I don't think fans could go there.
Well, but you open up a can of worms. You also have, I think, the money standpoint. Oh no. The way, say, the NFL did it. This is why I'm okay with what baseball did. When they hit the Patriots, Bill Belichick didn't get suspended.
He should have.
And baseball suspended the general manager and the manager to say this won't be tolerated. I think that's awesome. We had talked about this, and I said anybody who knew was in management has to be suspended. This ain't no fine and just draft picks. You have to suspend the people who turned their heads and didn't do anything about it. That's what I love about what Fred Manfred did.
Rob Manfred. I agree that baseball came down hard. And I'm not going to raise a saber and say, oh, you should have done more. In my opinion, though, I do think they should have taken the championships. The Houston Astros are still world champions. You cheated, and they're still world champions. Now, Verlander's a Hall of Famer anyway, but him going to Houston and resurrecting his career and pitching great there, now to some degree you erase that. You know, and if they were cheating, you should. So
the manager, owner was asked, Crane?
Yeah.
Was asked if their World Series was tainted. And of course, his answer was no.
Come on, how can it not be?
But I agree, and I think that's your punishment, is that people don't feel good. It's like the Patriots.
It's like the Patriots.
You could say, Chris, with all the winning and the dynasty, the two back-end dynasties or whatever, three in a row and three out of four, whatever it was, the thing that people still hold on to is everybody doesn't acknowledge or give the Patriots their due because they don't feel good about what went on.
Yeah,
so there's still a degree of that, even though.
To a small degree. I mean, you're one of the guys out there beating the drum.
I won't let it go.
But most people, I mean, you admit this, even though you don't think Brady's the GOAT, most people, wouldn't you say, that we see on television, that we see on radio, that we have on our show interviewing them, most people do think he and Belichick are the GOATs. Now they were never caught, you know, in a Super Bowl year, winning a Super Bowl for
cheating. There was talk about it.
But let's say
that's Eric Dickerson.
Let's say they had been caught in one of those years. And, you know, maybe Belichick gets suspended for a year or whatever, but they don't take away the title. You're still saying he and Brady have six rings. But if they took you, as a guy that argues against the Patriots, If they took away one or two of those rings, now they only got four or five. You have a much stronger argument against them when they only got four rings, five rings versus six.
But we all watched, and
but we know again, the Astros cheated on the field.
But that
is different from the college kid who took money from the field.
But the only problem is, even with or without, you don't know that the Dodgers were going to win
Of course.
That's the problem.
But why risk? Why do something that risky? I mean, heck, lost their jobs and may lose their careers. That's another thing. Look, these jobs, there are 30 teams in Major League Baseball. Those jobs are a privilege. Let's keep it real. Especially, Rob, we've talked about it. Especially now that managers are really, in many cases, getting their directives from the front office.
Right, almost obsolete.
Right. So I say they blew that privilege. It should be a ban from being a manager. Yeah, because they're gonna have some of their boys, some of their good old boys that they know in the league, hire them in a few years as consultants, as scouts. They'll get a cushy little job, make good money, and be fine. And they probably won't be a manager and a GM again, but I don't think they should be allowed to be managers and GMs again.
This was interesting. I got a text from a former Astro scout today. I'm going to read a little piece of it. Said a lot, and it was like kind of, I got this thing. It says, it's kind of karma, honestly, about the Astros. And I was like, really? Karma? And he says, a lot of the industry, working force, or scouts have probably hated and resented the Astros since their strategy of relying on technology and analytics heavily. When they let go of a lot of scouts, they made a lot of enemies letting go scouts in 2017. And this is when they instituted.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is real deep, like where they were. And it says also their strategy of tanking has changed the scope of free agency. So veterans lost money and jobs because teams value just rebuilding, like we saw in Miami with Derek Jeter's franchise. Right? People are following that through the draft picks and are saving money for later. So there's a whole thing. And I thought that was interesting by the scout. That they made a lot of enemies, and then you could tell why. Like, okay, if you could go that route, Chris, if you kind of have an inside track on with the technology, and you know A.J. Hinch never made out a lineup because they had the analytics.
Right.
So what they were doing was totally different, but now you know kind of why, because they had an advantage.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And so now when you look at the Astros and how good they were in their organization, it don't feel as good anymore.
No, not at all. It really wouldn't feel good without those titles.
Right.
Or that title.
That one title. Think about it.
Their only one in history.
Right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I've been telling you this all year. You've been singing the Packers' praises, singing Aaron Rodgers' praises, and he's nice, no doubt, and he played well on Sunday. He's the man, Hall of Famer, all that. But I told you, one word I kept telling you about my man, Patrick Mahomes, that word was Jordan-esque. Off to a Jordan-esque start to his career. And you can't tell me that yesterday against the Houston Texans, that was not a Jordan-esque performance. All right? 23 for 35, 321 yards, 5 touchdown passes, coming back from a 24-0 deficit, ties a playoff record with 4 touchdown passes in the second quarter, gives his teammates a rousing, rallying speech on the sidelines. I mean, he showed you in one fell swoop the physical ability, the running ability, the passing ability, and the intangibles, the leadership qualities that I told you will make him an all-time great. And I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan yet. He's not, obviously. But he is doing things we haven't seen from that position. Just like Michael Jordan did things we had not seen from that position. He was the first player in NFL history with 300-plus passing yards, 5 touchdown passes, 50-plus rush yards in a playoff game. In the 100-year history of the NFL, Rob Parker, 100 years, and none of the top 10 quarterbacks of all time that they gave us a couple of weeks ago, not Otto Graham, not Peyton Manning, not Tom Brady,
you went to Otto
not
Graham.
Dan Marino, not Brett Favre, not Joe Montana, none of them, not Johnny Unitas, none of them had done what Patrick Mahomes did. And I got one word for you, Jordan-esque.
Are you done? Can I talk? Are you done?
I'm done. And so were
Patrick,
you.
Patrick Mahomes' performance was fugazi.
What?
It was fugazi.
Oh, stop it.
Stop with the trumping up what he was able to do. That was a meltdown by the Texans. That wasn't anything that he did.
It was a meltdown that got them to leave.
You be quiet.
Texans.
Let me talk, all right?
Keep it real, my
man. Those 3 touchdowns, you ready? 2 plays, 42 yards. 3 plays, 33 yards. 3 plays, 6 yards. He didn't drive them down the field 90 yards. He had layups. They turned the ball over, said, here you go. I know Christmas passed. Here you go. Help take it. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet. That's what the Texans gave to Patrick Mahomes boy or whatever you want to call him. Stop trumping up the numbers and trying to make it out like he did some Herculean.
It
was a gift bag.
4
That's
touchdowns.
What it was,
There's
Chris.
There's never been a gift bag in the history of the NFL.
It was,
why did he do it? Why him?
It was
why of all the players in history that got gift bags, why him?
He didn't get 1 gift bag. He got 3 gift bags. Here you go. Take it. Do whatever you want to us. That's what the Texans did.
Not 3.
And Chris trying to make it like he drove, like, wow, he drove 90 yards, 3 drives in a row, and brought his team back. That's the kind of guy he was. Come on, man, Chris. Watch the game. Be honest. Call it the way you see it.
I am.
It was fugazi.
You act
anybody
like
out there who thinks that Patrick Mahomes did something that was easy for a guy of his talent and skill. That was easy, taking candy from a baby. Those were cupcakes. All he had to do was blow out the candles and eat. It was so easy. He didn't do anything
easy,
so special.
Being down 24-0 is easy.
Against the Texans when they turned to
goo.
Stop
it. Stop it, Rob
They
Parker.
Turned to goo right before our eyes.
They turned
it
to
wasn't
goo
about,
because Patrick Mahomes.
What was the biggest story?
You act
what was
like
the biggest
easy.
Story?
You act like it's easy to score in the red zone.
It
it's
is.
It's not easy.
The biggest story
yeah,
was what?
It helps, but it's not easy.
Was it Mahomes or the colossal choke job
oh,
by
it
the
was
Texans?
Mahomes.
It was
it
the
was
choke
Mahomes.
Job up 24.
Mahomes was the big. They, first of all, the reason
the Texans
they,
are
the reason
choke
they
job.
Got up 24.
That's the story.
The reason they got up 24-0 was a gift. You talking about gift bags? You talking about Christmas presents? How about that? How about the broken coverage on the first touchdown? That was ridiculous. Kenny Stills wide open. How about the drop pass by Travis Kelce that leads to a block punt? How about that? How about the drop punt from Tyreek Hill? How about that at like the 6-yard line?
But that's why
that's why they were up 24-0.
But my point is, don't make it like he did some Herculean effort.
He did.
He got layups. Layups. You
there
can make that.
There are no layups.
There's a layup for Patrick Mahomes. You
yeah,
give him the ball
so
at the
great.
6-yard line. It took 3 plays to get in, but he got in. The 6-yard line. Stop it, Chris. You're over.
They became the first team, Rob, ever to score 7 straight touchdowns on 7 straight
possessions.
I got
it, but they were gifts.
In the playoffs.
I understand that.
Other teams have gotten gifts.
No,
why
not,
didn't they
not
do
like
it?
That.
Because they didn't have a quarterback who was Jordan-esque.
No, this was the
you
colossal.
You're going to say the word. Before the season's over, you will say that word in relation to Patrick Mahomes.
Over
Mark
my over
my words.
Over my dead body. I'm not saying that because he ain't close to Jordan-esque.
Well, if they win the Super Bowl this year and he leads them. You're not going to say the dude's off to a Jordan-esque start to his career.
And when they lose to the Titans and he throws a pick in a clutch situation, I want to hear you use that term. And stop it, Chris. That game was about the Texans and the colossal collapse of that football team more than it was about Mahomes. Mahomes was cleaning up the trash. That's what he was doing in that game. It wasn't like he was burning, taking the ball, and he was unstoppable. They gave him the ball and said, here you go, beat us. And he did it. Give him credit for the win.
Mahomes.
But it wasn't like, I just cannot give you where you're going, Jordan-esque, when he had help.
Mahomes was the best quarterback of the weekend.
And what do you have, four touchdowns?
Yes, five. Yes, better than your boy. As good as Aaron Rodgers was, he was not Patrick Mahomes.
And here's the other thing.
Mahomes found eight receivers. Eight, Rob Parker. He didn't focus on just one guy, Travis Kelce. He found eight guys for passes.
Because everybody was open. The Texans were miserable. Everybody was open. And, Chris, here's the other thing. This is like the third youngest player. Mahomes was the third youngest to throw five touchdowns. He's not even the first. Like, if you're telling me that had never been done, two other guys did it before him.
Who?
I don't know who they are, but I know he was the third youngest.
You can't even quote that.
No, it's
That's
the
like
third
a
youngest.
Scholar making a quote.
No.
Give me the sources.
I told you.
I don't want to hear it.
You don't believe what I'm telling you?
No, I don't. Rob G whispered that in your ear.
No,
you had
he
no idea. He's pulling for you, obviously.
What are you
he
talking
don't like
about?
Mahomes either. I'm telling
you.
Who
said that I don't like
y'all
Mahomes?
Hating on Patrick Mahomes?
I'm not hating on him. I'm just telling you, do not trump up what he was doing, Chris.
He threw five touchdowns.
It was a meltdown.
Four touchdowns in the second quarter. Seven straight scoring possessions. What are you talking about?
He had 12 players working for him because the Texans were in his pocket. They were helping him. Here you go. Go ahead. Score another touchdown. It was the most embarrassing thing I'd ever seen.
Stop.
And this was about the Texans.
No,
stop with the
Mahomes.
You
know what the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen is? This take! I mean, are you serious? He did nothing? He got gift bags? It was Fugazi? Are you serious? Unbelievable, Rob. It shows you'll go to any limits.
I want
to have your hot take.
And I want people to call up and say, was he Fergazy or was he Jordan-esque? That's what I want to hear from you.
That's it.
Fergazy or was he Jordan-esque?
All right. I'm with you. That's it. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Let me clarify my Jordan-esque. I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan.
You're using the name Jordan-esque.
Yet, I'm saying he's off to a Jordan-esque start to his career. Yep. And remember, it took Michael Jordan 7 years to win a championship.
This is the same guy who said Dak was on his way to a league. He didn't even make the Pro Bowl, and they had the highest offense. They had the highest scoring offense in the league. He didn't make the Pro Bowl.
For Michael Jordan, scoring 30 points a game was what it is to score 20 points a game for other great players. For Patrick Mahomes, throwing for 300-some-odd yards is what it is to throw for 250 for other great quarterbacks. This dude is on another level. TD-wise, yardage-wise, he can throw the no-look. He's throwing left-handed. He's fooling the defense with looking at one side of the field, all of a sudden coming back, throwing it to the other. He's got all that. So, yes, I throw it out to you. Was Patrick Mahomes Fugazi? Or Jordan-esque?